He spent a few minutes circling a potted plant outside Erno's door before the secretary showed him in. Tien's head of security was stationed out at the big airport, making Erno the honcho here, and he had one of those offices too big for the furniture they gave him. "Can I ask?" Erno said when they were settled. "The suits in the center city always like to hear it first, if they're going to read about anybody around here being naughty." Erno had been smuggled out of Hungary in 1956, after the Ruskies hanged his father from the lamppost in front of the family house, and a trace accent still played through his speech like incongruous background music, elongating certain vowels and sticking other sounds far back in his throat. Instead of answering, Larry flipped open a small spiral-topped notepad and said he wasn't getting the skinny on the narcotic search referenced in Louise's personal file. "I wouldn't want you to write this down," Erno said, "but I think my boy's got a little rambunctious. This young lady, Louisa, from what I hear, she was Excedrin headache number 265. You've seen her evaluations in the file. You know, insubordinate. It's misspelled several times. I think she got pretty ornery when she come up dirty, enough to make a suspicious guy more suspicious." Erno offered the last with a wry look. He was suggesting his guys had made up the tip as an excuse for the search. It happened on the street all the time. Genevieve had this one right. Louisa had talked her way into trouble.
So that's a zero?
Dry hole, said Erno authoritatively. He reached into a desk drawer and placed a toothpick in the side of his mouth. Erno was nervous and slender. He had a narrow face, a long, thin nose, and eyebrows so pale you could barely see them. To Larry, he'd always been a hard man to like. There was an edge to Erno and a frequent sour frown, like he smelled some stink, which might well have been you. He probably would have made an all right cop, smart enough and serious about the job, but he never got that far. While he was still in the academy, he got into a domestic situation where he shot and killed his mother-in-law. The coroner's inquest had included testimony from Erdai's wife, who confirmed that the old lady had come after Erno with a knife, but the brass on the force would not bring on a guy who'd killed with a service revolver even before he had a star.
"What's your angle with the dope, anyway?" Erno asked. "I thought Greer was figuring she's popped by stranger danger. Wrong time, wrong place."
"Probably, but your girl Louisa, she's had some big money coming in."
"From where she's getting money," Erno said. "That's what I wanted to ask you guys. She's stealing something?"
Erno turned sideways to consider the question.
"She wasn't ripping tickets, if that's what you're thinking," Erdai answered.
"I was wondering more whether she had her hand in the till."
"No chance.
Yeah, accounting's way too tight when we get cash."
"And why not tickets?"
"Tickets? That's the best thing around here to steal. One piece of paper can be worth 1,000 on the street, but people always get caught. The airlines are bare on this stuff. Lock you up and sue you. They don't care if it's $1.95.
Zero tolerance.
It works, too."
"So, how'd your talk go with Genevieve? She got any clue where Louisa was hiding her money tree?"
Larry grunted. "Three monkeys. I wouldn't say you've been a fuck of a lot of help, either." Erno pushed his tongue into the side of his mouth, which in his case was what passed for a smile. "Actually," he said, gesturing with the toothpick, "I may have one thing for you. I don't even know if I ought to be mentioning it. There's a kid. Well, he's no kid. There's a guy I know. To be straight with you, Larry is my fucking nephew. You wouldn't necessarily know that when you see him."
"Not as good-looking, huh?"
"No, he's good-looking. His dad was a big, good-looking stud, and he's a big, good-looking stud, too. But he's a different tint than you and me."
"Ah," said Larry.
"My sister, you know, when I was a kid in the South End, all the old guys were ever on about was running the Nubians out of town. You know, we had them on three sides, and it was like we don't want them brown bastards with their drugs and whoring. So, naturally, there are chicks. They get to the age when it's fuck you, mama, daddy, and all this Roman Catholic bullshit. Their idea of living dangerous is to give it up as fast as they can for the first black guy to say howdy do. My kid sister, Ilona, she's one of these hunky broads, just couldn't stuff enough black meat into her cannoli.
So this is how my nephew stumbles into the world. My parents, you know, they can't figure who to kill first, my sister or themselves, so right from the jump it's the big brother, yours truly, who's giving them a helping hand. And that's a soap opera with about 600 installments. You get time for the skinny version? It'll help make sense of the rest of it. I'll put in for overtime, said Larry. Well, the kid, you know, is a brown-skinned fatherless bastard, just to put it in a nutshell. The old neighborhood don't have much use for him. He's got even less use for the neighborhood. My sister, she means to do right and only makes things worse. She sends him to public school instead of St. Jerome's, so he's not the only black kid. And soon enough, that's what he is, a black kid, talking just like them and running with the gangs and the dope. And I'm all the time like a guy with his hand in a fire, trying to pull him out. But, you know, I think it's the genes with these people, I really do. He keeps going back down, with the drugs, of course. He's tried them all. That potential, oh, bright. But, you know, the race thing, it bugs him. He hates his ma. He despises me. We can't tell him what to do because we don't know what it's like being a black man in white America. I had him working out here, but he needs to be a flipping executive, not some house darkie standing by the metal detectors. Besides, he wants to travel. Join the army, right? He's dishonorable, out of the service in 8 months. Drugs, natch. So, we send him to the old country. That ain't his roots, he says, and bugs out for Africa. But guess what? Nobody plays basketball. Not old home week there, either. So he comes back, and he says he's ready to be a grown-up. Decided he wants to work in the industry after all. The industry? Air travel. See the world and get paid for it. That's downright hilarious, because all the airlines do big-time dope screening. They'd sooner hire an orangutan than a kid with a drug felony. But I know a lot of the big travel agencies after all this time, so I just about wear out my knees. But he gets hired on at Time to Travel, and God strike me dead, he does okay. Collins, that's his name, Collins gets his associate's degree and his agent's license. He likes wearing a coat and tie, and for about 5 minutes I thought to myself, this might work, this kid might make it. And of course he gets fucked up on drugs again and cracked for selling. That's a threefer. The first conviction gets reinstated. He does 18 months, and in this state he loses his travel agent's license. The last part, I swear, when he got out, that irritated him more than his time inside. I tell him to move, get away from the influencers. There are 36 states where he's still certified as an agent. But you know the end by now. I got the call last week. He's over in county. The jail or the hospital? Crossbars Motel. 4. By bust. How much? 6 zones, as they say. 6 ounces. Class X. That's tough. Terrible tough. This'll make him triple X. Triple X. 3 felony convictions for narcotics would mean life in prison. No parole unless Erno's nephew offered something to prosecutors. Larry still couldn't see where this was going. Erno knew plenty of guys in narcotics whose ring he could kiss. He'll have to find his tongue, I'd say, Larry told Erno. Yeah, well, those gangbangers he did business with, he'll look like punchboard, that's what he figures, if he snitches out any of them. But he might have something else, you know, he calls me whenever he gets it in the ringer. Yesterday, he's crying and carrying on, and in the middle of it, he says he heard something or saw something on your case. This case? That's what he says. He says he saw a guy with jewelry, and he thinks the jewelry belonged to one of your Vicks. Which one? Didn't ask. I heard you were coming. I promised I'd mention it. Truth is, knowing Collins like I do, it's probably jailhouse bullshit. Rudy told Trudy, who told Judy. But if it's actually something, Larry, if he hands it to you, you got to get him out from under. I don't have any problem with that, said Larry, but he better hit the bullseye. It'd be a first, said Erno. Larry took the name, Collins Farwell. The light was fading when he left the building. For no reason he could think of at first, he was happy. Then it came to him. He had to call Muriel Wynn.